Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ, 89.1 FM Descanso, recording at our studio in the East County Wellness Center in El Cajon. Today we have got a great show lined up for you with some wonderful musical entertainment as well as some top news. But first, there's a winter storm warning for the weekend, particularly in our mountain regions, and you may be surprised at just how low that snow may go. In San Diego, former Assemblywoman Lori Saldana has announced plans to challenge Mayor Kevin Faulkner for his seat, and we'll have details on some of her accomplishments and her goals if she's elected. Then on Crime Beat, we'll have a special report on former Mountain Empire Unified School District Superintendent Steve Van Zandt, who has been charged with felony conflict of interest. We'll tell you why, and how our investigation into his charter school setups in other districts exposed evidence of his dubious dealings. Meanwhile, the neighboring Grossmont High School District will soon be drawing up new district lines, and we'll tell you why on today's show. Then on Green Scene, we'll have some troubling findings from NASA on the latest temperature readings from around the world and why the two top scientific organizations studying climate changes have both concluded that last year was the hottest ever recorded. Two major actions this week, one by the Supreme Court and the other by President Obama, aim to give new rights to those serving time for crimes committed when they were juveniles, giving some a chance for freedom and also limiting solitary confinement for prisoners of all ages. On our sports report, hear why the Raiders may be coming to town. And then on Destination East County, we've got a lot of hot events coming up soon, from hawk watching in Ramona to California dreaming in the Anza Borrego Desert and a Valentine's food and wine pairing in a vineyard, plus much more. On the second half of our show today, we have a very special treat in store for you listeners. We'll be speaking with Windwalker, a Native American medicine woman and Lakeside resident whose new musical group, Windwalker and the MCWs, that stands for Multicultural Women, has been nominated for a Grammy Award for their new CD. You'll also hear samples from some of their wonderful songs, including Prairie Road's Journey, The Reunion, and Mother's Heartbeat. Best of all of the profits from their musical endeavors are entirely given away to help children's charitable causes. So stay tuned for all of these stories and more on today's edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show, where East County matters. This is Miriam Raftery with an important weather bulletin. A significant winter storm is forecast to roll into our region Saturday night and Sunday. Very strong winds up to 80 miles an hour are possible Sunday afternoon and evening, along with moderate rainfall across much of the county and heavy snow in our mountain areas. By Sunday night, traces of snow could dip as low as 3,500 feet, which could impact Interstate 8 in East County, east of Alpine. Elevations of 4,000 to 5,000 feet, such as the Julian area, could get up to 3 inches of snow, while up to a foot could fall on Mount Laguna above 5,000 feet. Wind speeds are forecast to reach 60 to 80 miles an hour in the mountains, 50 to 60 miles an hour in the deserts, and 30 to 40 miles an hour in the valley and coastal areas. And the winds will be strongest in the afternoons and evenings both days. The National Weather Service is warning of dangerous travel conditions and damaging winds. The storm could cause blowing sand and dust in desert areas as well as slick roads across our region. And if you must travel in snowy mountain areas, be sure to carry chains for your vehicle.
Former Assemblywoman Lori Saldana has announced that she's filed papers to challenge San Diego's Republican Mayor Kevin Faulkner. A longtime progressive, environmental leader, and former Assembly Speaker pro tem, Saldana was a Democrat for many years, but will be running as an independent. Saldana left the party in September 2014 after a heated congressional primary race won by Scott Peters. She clashed with party leaders in 2013 when she warned them about Bob Filner's actions toward women before he was elected mayor. Filner later resigned over sexual misconduct scandals. Saldana has said that her main issues if elected mayor will be inequality in income and city services, including lack of affordable housing, the need to fix crumbling infrastructure, and expand high-speed internet to low-income communities. She told Voice of San Diego, quote, "I'm running to give voters of San Diego a choice." She added that she wants to encourage more people to turn out to vote and have a spirited debate on the future of the city. 6 months before the June election, Falconer had been poised to run unopposed by any prominent challenger after Labor leader Gretchen Newsom, a Democrat, pulled out of the race due to family issues. In the assembly, Saldana championed rights of women, minorities, environmental protection, and water reclamation. She is also past president of the San Diego Sierra Club. While in the legislature, she co-authored the Million Dollar Solar Initiative and AB 32, the Global Warming Solutions Act, both of which became enacted as landmark laws. She has been outspoken against industrial-scale energy projects in remote areas, advocating for rooftop solar and other clean energy sources produced where power is used in the urban areas. She holds a professional certificate in Women in Power from Harvard University's Kennedy School of Government, as well as a master's degree in education from San Diego State University. Saldana also served as associate dean at San Diego Community College District and now teaches in the Women's Studies Department at San Diego State University. She was appointed by President Bill Clinton to serve on the Border Environment Cooperation Commission's Advisory Council and later ran for Congress against Brian Bilbray. While in the assembly, she was named Legislator of the Year by four different organizations representing veterans, school nurses, women's health, and conservation interests. Later, she also received the People's Mic Award from our own KNSJ Radio. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Ed Barana.
This is Miriam Raftery with a Crime Beat Report. Steve Van Zandt, the former superintendent of the Mountain Empire Unified School District in San Diego's East County, has been charged with a felony conflict of interest. While serving as superintendent, Van Zandt pushed through charter schools to operate in other school districts, while allegedly profiting by having some of those same charters hire his own consulting firm, Ed Hive, Inc. East County Magazine was the first media outlet to expose controversies around Van Zandt over his string of charter schools in other districts, as well as other questionable issues. Van Zandt's wife, Ingrid, a designer who opened her design business in 2007, the same year her husband became superintendent, was also hired by the Mountain Empire District. Her LinkedIn page listed her as president and CFO of Ed Hive and principal creative director of Studio 360. Both companies list Mountain Empire School District among their clients. And interestingly, the San Diego District Attorney is also listed among Studio 360's clients. Superintendent Steve Van Zandt authorized a dozen or more charters while at the helm of Mountain Empire before leaving in 2013 to accept a commuting position as superintendent of the Sausalito Marin City School District in Northern California. Back in 2010, an East County Magazine reader, who asked to remain anonymous, questioned how the superintendent could afford to travel to Hawaii in the Caribbean, staying at posh resorts and sailing aboard a privately chartered catamaran to private islands, as the couple's Facebook pages at the time boasted. Ingrid Van Zandt's Facebook page also included photos of a new Mercedes and new Ferrari purchased within a few months' time and mention of a Porsche given to the couple's son at UC Berkeley. Both Steve and Ingrid Van Zandt's Facebook pages have been recently scrubbed, with histories, posts, friends, basic biographical information, and nearly all of those photos removed. In August 2010, our story titled Flurry of New Charter Approvals Raises Questions Over State Funding Priorities in an Era of Budget Shortfalls probed Mountain Empire's questionable practice of opening up charters in other districts with high academic achievements. That included a charter middle school opened in the La Mesa Spring Valley District, a district that had very high test scores, at a time when Mountain Empire's own middle school test scores were in the bottom 10% statewide. Mountain Empire's scores were so dismal that the district was forced by the state to close down its only middle school, and yet it continued to provide oversight for more and more charters opening under Van Zandt's supervision. The charter schools are public, thus taking public funds in the form of average daily attendance money. By sucking students away from high-performing existing public schools, these charters diminish resources for the other public schools at a time when the recession was causing deep cuts in state funding to schools statewide. Mark Hansen, the former administrator of the Grossmont Union High School District, called Mountain Empire's opening of charters in other districts an absolute travesty, almost unimaginable, adding that the district had a long history of poor standards and poor oversight. Full disclosure here, Hansen is currently the head of the Heartland Coalition, the nonprofit publisher of East County Magazine. At the time of our story in August 2010, California had 860 charter schools in operation, of which half of them were untested models. The growing practice of districts making administrative fees for opening up charters in districts other than their own has led to lawsuits, including here in San Diego. San Diego Unified and Grossmont Union High School districts have both launched legal actions to shut down charters operating without their permission inside their boundaries. The practice also sparked legislation to restrict that practice, but Governor Jerry Brown vetoed it over concerns that it would force existing schools to relocate. but in his veto message, the governor conceded, "Unfortunately, it appears that some districts and charter schools have gone against the spirit of the law." Profiting off of the district's charters personally through his consulting company and his wife's business venture aren't the only instances in which Van Zandt has faced allegations of wrongdoing. In our October 2010 article titled, "Mountain Empire Unified School District Quizzed Over Alleged Misuse of Special Funds," we revealed allegations by a former teacher and by employees of Mountain Empire, who alleged that special fund monies from the state intended to benefit low-income and non-English-speaking students were misspent or reshuffled. The story detailed costly staff additions, including 3 employees hired to manage those charter schools, while services to students were being cut. Another East County Magazine story in September 2010 indicated rural parents in the district criticized Van Zandt's shuffling of principals, contending it would hurt local schools and Spanish-speaking students, although Van Zandt defended his actions. Van Zandt has also defended his push for charter schools, which brought revenues into Mountain Empire District at a time when it was struggling financially. In 2010, he told us, he believed the charter schools were a good thing. That practice has been changed by Van Zandt's successor. The Union Tribune reports that since Kathy Granger was hired as Mountain Empire's superintendent in December 2013, Mountain Empire has halted its trend of wooing and approving far-flung charters. Raised in Ramona, Van Zandt served as superintendent of the one-room Dehesa School District in East County before he became superintendent of Mountain Empire and later Sausalito Marin City School District. The Sausalito Marin City School District announced recently that Van Zandt is on an indefinite leave of absence at his request, the Marin Independent Journal reported. Some parents and civic leaders in that district have also raised concerns over Van Zandt giving priority to a charter school, Willow Creek Academy, over Bayside Martin Luther King Jr. Academy, a public school. If Van Zandt is convicted, his job may be the least of his concerns, though, since he could face up to 3 years in prison, and that could serve as a learning experience for the former superintendent.
The Grossmont Union High School District's board voted unanimously last Thursday to shift from at-large elections to district elections in which each trustee will represent a specific portion of the district. The move comes after an attorney sent the district a letter advising that it may be in violation of the Voting Rights Act. The goal of both the federal and state Voting Rights Act is to assure fair representation of minorities and prevent elected bodies from splitting up minority neighborhoods to avoid having their voices heard. The Grossmont District will hold 3 public hearings on the matter on January 26th at 4 p.m., on February 11th at 6 p.m., and February 25th at 4 p.m. All the meetings will be at the East County Regional Education Center, which is located at 924 East Main Street in El Cajon. The El Cajon City Council recently also voted to change district elections. Both districts have a large population of Middle Eastern immigrants, particularly Iraqis, as well as many Latino voters. The Grossmont District has indicated that it has hired a demographics company to help determine how to draw up the districts. A demographics consultant gave a presentation at the meeting. The new district should be in place before the November election. Trustees Priscilla Schreiber and Jim Steringer are both up for election this year. Schreiber lives in Lakeside and Steringer lives in La Mesa. Jim Kelly also lives in Lakeside while Gary Woods lives in El Cajon and Robert Shield resides on the boundary of El Cajon and Lakeside. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is DeVario Bell.
Now it's time for the Green Scene Report, highlighting energy, environmental, and sustainability issues in our community.
This is Ed Barreno with a Green Scene Report for East County Magazine on KNSJ. 2015 was the warmest year for our planet since modern record-keeping began in 1880, according to a new analysis by NASA's Goddard Institute for Space Studies and confirmed in a separate analysis by the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, or NOAA. That breaks the previous record set just 1 year earlier in 2014. The record-breaking year continues a long-term warming trend. 15 of the 16 warmest years on record have now occurred since 2001. NASA Administrator Charles Bolden warns, quote, "Climate change is the challenge of our generation, and NASA's vital work on this important issue affects every person on Earth," unquote. He adds that the new data, quote, "should make policymakers stand up and take notice. Now is the time to act on climate," unquote. The planet's average surface temperature has risen nearly 2 degrees Fahrenheit since the late 19th century, a change largely driven by increased carbon dioxide and other human-made emissions into the atmosphere, NASA and NOAA scientists conclude. Phenomena such as El Niño or La Niña, which warm or cool the tropical Pacific Ocean, also contribute to short-term variations in global average temperature. But NASA emphasizes that the cumulative effect of climate change is primarily what's responsible for the long-term, record-breaking warming trend. NASA's analyses incorporate surface temperature measurements from 6,300 weather stations on land and at sea, including every continent on Earth. NASA also monitors Earth's vital signs from land, air, and space with a fleet of satellites, sharing that data with countries around the world to help understand and protect our planet. So what about the extreme blizzard that just hit the East Coast? Warming ocean temperatures will also create conditions that cause more extreme storms. According to scientists at NOAA, the frequency of extreme snowstorms in the eastern U.S. has also increased over the past century, and climate change is the key reason.
Juveniles in federal prisons can no longer be sentenced to solitary confinement under an executive order issued by President Barack Obama that also reformed solitary confinement rules for adults. Also this week, the Supreme Court ruled that an earlier decision banning mandatory life sentences for juveniles applies retroactively, meaning prisoners who committed serious crimes before age 18 must have parole hearings or an opportunity for resentencing. An estimated 100,000 prisoners nationwide are in solitary confinement, including 10,000 in federal prisons, though only a small fraction of those are juveniles. Among other reforms, the new rules also reduce the time any prisoner can be put in solitary for a first offense from 365 days to 60 days. Obama wrote, "How can we subject prisoners to unnecessary solitary confinement knowing its effects and then expect them to return to our communities as whole people?" Adding that such action can have heartbreaking results. He cited the case of Khalif Browder, who spent nearly 2 years in solitary confinement while awaiting trial for allegedly stealing a backpack at age 16. He was released without ever being tried or convicted, then committed suicide at age 22. The rules only apply to federal prisons, though the president has said he hopes to see states use the guidelines as models for their own reforms. Several states have already implemented reforms, including California, following a lawsuit filed after revelations that nearly 3,000 inmates in state prisons are kept alone in solitary confinement cells 22 hours a day or more, the Washington Post reports. At the U.S. Supreme Court, by a 6-3 vote, justices ruled this week that the High Court's earlier decision in a 2012 case, which banned mandatory life sentences without parole for juveniles, must be applied retroactively. That means that even elderly prisoners who committed crimes as youths will now have an opportunity for freedom, though not a guarantee that freedom will be granted. The Juvenile Justice Forum reports that the United States is the only nation in the world that allows juveniles to be sentenced to life in prison without parole. Justice Kennedy, writing for the majority, wrote, "Life without parole is an excessive sentence for children whose crimes reflect transient immaturity." But Justice Antonin Scalia, in a dissent also signed by Justices Samuel Alito and Clarence Thomas, called the majority's ruling astonishing, and the requirements to consider even juvenile killers for parole impossible nonsense. A brief submitted by states opposed to releasing juvenile offenders argues that doing so would undermine the community's safety and would offend principles of finality. But Catherine Mattis, director of the Tulane Law School Criminal Litigation Clinic, says some youthful offenders have matured while behind bars, adding, "Some have mentored younger prisoners. Some have earned an education and learned a trade," McClatchy News Service reports. However, the ruling does not grant freedom, only the right to a parole hearing. While parole boards will now have the review sentences, they won't have to give parole. According to retired law professor Victor Stribe, an internationally renowned expert on the juvenile death penalty and juvenile sentence, "and it would be very typical for them not to," Stribe states. Juvenile Justice Forum reports. Daniel McCalliar, executive director of the Center for Juvenile and Criminal Justice, hailed the decision as humane. It's the right thing to do, he concluded. The rest of the world has recognized the idea that it's not a good idea to sentence children to die in prison without any hope of release.
This is Liz Alper with a sports report for East County Magazine here on KNSJ. The National Football League wants to stay in San Diego. That much we know. What we don't know is if the Chargers will move to L.A. and the Oakland Raiders will move here, or if the Chargers will stay here. Raiders owner Mark Davis wants a smaller stadium. Chargers owner Dean Spanos wants the opposite. According to a tweet from the Los Angeles Daily News, the Raiders are interested in renovating Qualcomm Stadium if they move to San Diego. However, Mayor Falconer's Task Force Chairman Adam Day says that renovating Qualcomm will be expensive. $100 million for repairs, $300 million for earthquake proofing, another $300 million for upgrades, for a grand total of $700 million. If the Raiders move, it will bring the $300 million needed to build a $1 billion stadium, and the deal for a new stadium is $1.1 billion. The NFL might also waive Oakland's relocation fee. If the Raiders move to San Diego, it will accomplish what the NFL wants. Football's return to L.A., keeping football in San Diego, and protecting the Chargers by moving them to a franchise where they, or at least Spanos, they still have a fan base.
You're listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, networking for social justice.
The East County Magazine Show airs Mondays and Fridays on KNSJ from 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock p.m. You can listen live at 89.1 FM or online at knsj.org. You can also listen anywhere by downloading the TuneIn application for your smartphone. For details, visit tunein.com.
Welcome to Destination East County with your host, Rebecca Williamson.
And Leon Thompson, bringing you the top festivals, events, and attractions across East County
each week.
This is Miriam Raftery.
And this is Ed Barena.
Guest hosting this week's Destination East County, which includes Hawk Watching in Alpine, California Dreamin' in Anza Borrego, and Visions at Mission Trails Regional Park.
Plus, we'll have previews of coming attractions, including Breakfast with Supervisor Diane Jacob, Food and Wine Pairing in Ramona, and Big Bad Voodoo Daddy. So stay tuned for all of these events and more.
The nonprofit Anza Borrego Desert History Association in Borrego Springs announces a special two-day program entitled California Dreamin', the Immigration and Migration History of California. It will be held in Borrego Springs on January 29th and 30th. This two-day event will bring together a best-selling author, anthropologist, historian, and genetic anthropologist to tell the full story of movement over time into what is now known as the Golden State. Pre-registration is required and space is limited. You can register online at the Anza Borrego Desert History Association website, and that's abdnha.org.
Hawkwatch, a free celebration of raptors, will take place at the Wildlife Research Institute in Ramona Grasslands at 10 a.m. each Saturday in January and February, rain or shine. You can observe both wintering and resident raptors such as the golden eagle, bald eagle, ferruginous hawk, red-tailed hawk, prairie falcon, red-shouldered hawk, and burrowing owl. In all, 19 species of raptors have been recorded at this raptor hotspot, where you'll learn the life histories of these beautiful birds, as well as the importance of the Ramona Grassland ecosystem. In addition to wild raptors, you will also see trained raptors and owls up close. Bring binoculars if you have them. Those scopes will be available. Refreshments, coffee, and pastries will also be provided. For more information, visit wildlife-research.org.
Mission Trails Regional Park guide and experienced birder Winona Solak will lead a free educational bird identification class in the park on Saturday, January 30th at 1 o'clock. The hour-and-a-half class will help increase your enjoyment of nature by teaching you five simple techniques to identify birds at a glance. You will also learn how to use a field guide, so bring one along if you have it. Classes meet at the Visitor Center in Classroom A on January 30th and the last Saturday of every month from January through October at 1 o'clock. The class is free and open to the public with no reservations required. You can get details at mtrp.org. That's the Mission Trails Regional Park website.
The Hakumba hikers and walkers will be hitting the trail to a garnet mine on January 30th. Along the 4-mile figure eight loop trail, hikers will encounter a waterfall, exhilarating views, and other hidden treasures of the high desert area. This hike is rated moderate to hard, and dogs are not allowed. Meet at 8 a.m. at the Hukumba Spawn Resort on Old Highway 80. Breakfast is available at the spa starting at 7 a.m., and lunch is available after the hike. Bring a swimsuit and towel for soaking in mineral hot springs after the hike, courtesy of the spa.
The East County Chamber of Commerce's annual Citizen of the Year luncheon will take place on Monday, February 1st from noon to 2 p.m. at the El Cajon Elks Lodge on Washington Avenue. You're invited to join the chamber as they honor the El Cajon Citizen of the Year, Humberto Cabrera. For reservations, you can visit eastcountychamber.org.
January is Health Awareness Month in Santee. To help increase health awareness in the city of Santee, California Health Network has partnered with dozens of organizations and companies to offer free and discounted health and fitness classes and services. Whether you're looking for free kickboxing and yoga lessons, tennis, personal trainers, or free checkups of your vision, hearing, spinal alignment, or blood pressure, or discounts on other services ranging from dental care to massages, you can find it all this month at californiahealthnetwork.org.
There's still time to visit Visions, an exhibition at Mission Trails Regional Park featuring 6 award-winning artists. Their colorful works celebrating nature will be on display in the Mission Trails Regional Park Visitor Center Art Gallery through January 29th. For directions and more details, you can visit mtrp.org.
Saps at Sea is the name of a group of movie lovers who have met for 38 years to enjoy old-time fun movies with Laurel and Hardy, Buster Keaton, and Looney Tunes. This week's showing includes Wrong Way from 1929 with Blue Boy the Horse, then Alley-Oop with comedian Buster Keaton. Saps at Sea have even reintroduced the intermission for treats and conversation. After Porky Pig in Mayhem, you'll see a Laurel and Hardy double feature with Laughing Gravy and the 1932 classic The Chimp. Saturday, January 30th, at Williams Hall in the Trinity Church on Kenwood Drive in Spring Valley. Doors open at 6:30. That'll be Saturday, January 30th at Williams Hall at the Trinity Church on Kenwood Drive in Spring Valley. For more information, you can visit sapsatsea.com.
Now for a preview of coming attractions. The La Mesa Chamber of Commerce invites you to attend the first breakfast meeting on Wednesday, February 10th at 7:30 at Marie Callender's on Alvarado Road in San Diego. Supervisor Diane Jacob will be the featured guest speaker. Reservations may be made at their website, lamesachamber.com.
The Barona Cultural Museum has some interesting classes coming up. Coming up, there will be a spear-making class on February 6th and a native foods yucca cooking class on March 12th. All classes are from 10:30 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. For costs and reservations, visit baronamuseum.org.
Just in time for Valentine's Day, Chef John Little Catering will create a special evening at Vineyard Grant James in Ramona. The chef will serve a 5-course tasting menu designed to showcase the best new wine releases at Grant James in the Old Barn. The culinary adventure will also include tasting locally made cheeses presented by Kim Sparrow from Cheeses at the Cave, along with fruits. The event will be held on Saturday and Sunday, February 13th and 14th, and it will include a special cheese dusted in cocoa designed to pair with Delphinus wine, chocolate, and fruit. For more information and reservations, you can visit vineyardgrantjames.com.
Together for over 23 years, the band Big Bad Voodoo Daddy will appear in concert at Sequan's Casino Live and Up Close Concert Series on February 12th. Big Bad Voodoo Daddy, famously named after an autograph by blues legend Albert Collins, sold millions of records and has had their music appear in hundreds of movies and television shows. With sold-out concerts in the Hollywood Bowl and Lincoln Center and appearances with many of the country's finest symphony orchestras, Big Bad Voodoo Daddy continues its decades-long mission to celebrate and revitalize jazz and swing music, America's unique and original musical art form. For tickets, see sequan.com.
That's all for this week. You can find details on all of these events and more on our calendar and in our festivals and events section online at eastcountymagazine.org.
If you have an event you'd like added to our calendar, or if you would like to sponsor the Destination East County column on our website or the Destination East County show on KNSJ Radio, you can contact editor at eastcountymagazine.org. Destination East County is the most read feature on our website.
We'll be back next week with more festivals, events, and attractions in San Diego's East County.
See you around, East County.
You are listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, broadcasting from the desert to the sea.
The East County Magazine Show on KNSJ Radio is produced by the nonprofit Heartland Coalition. We're your community news. We reflect your interest, not special interest. You can get involved by volunteering, get trained to be a citizen journalist, and support East County Magazine at www.eastcountymagazine.org. And you can send your news tips and story ideas to editor@eastcountymagazine.org. Now stay tuned for part two of the East County Magazine radio show.
This is East County Magazine's Tribal Beat, bringing you news for and about our region's Native American communities. This is Leon Thompson with East County Magazine, and today our very special guest is Wind Walker. Again, she was one of our very first interviews, and they made some beautiful music at our former studio, and she's with us here today. She has a special event coming up because she's been nominated for a Grammy.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Oh, Awani, our group, Wind Walker and the MCW. Our CD name is Generations, and we are in Regional Roots category number 51 for the Grammys this year. We have been nominated in that category.
Congratulations.
Oh, thank you so very much. I'm
and
so
you're
excited.
Wind Walker and MCW, which is Multicultural Women.
Yes.
And the cover of your CD shows four gorgeous Native American women. It's beautiful.
Thank you. We're also different multicultural. We also have Kashika. And we are honoring my nation's songs, which is the Mi'kmaq, the Cherokee, and the Lenape. Mm-hmm. And we also have a very special, which you heard a little insert today in the beginning, was our bonus track. Our bonus track is called Prairie Road's Journey. And it's all about journey of life and your own roads that you proceed to take. And also know and honor that, because you're here for a story and a journey to make all the better, no matter where you go. So with this CD, that's what we're doing. We are multicultural. There's Chickasaw. There's, like I said, Mexica. There's all different, and even just right down San Diego born. And all we're doing is we're honoring all the songs, the traditional old songs, and we do have some of our originals on there.
And I noticed that on this Prairie Road's Journey, you wrote the words and the music, and there's a steel guitar. And did I hear a harmonica in there?
Yes.
Talk about multicultural. You got the cowboys and the Indians.
Yes, that's what I did. Paul Woroff, who is the owner and wonderful, wonderful producer of Big Fish Studios in Encinitas, California here, where we did this recording, and we have much more to do. We're going back in January this month to finish up some more CDs. But I asked him if he wanted to be on this project, knowing that all our proceeds, 100% of our proceeds of these CDs, go to children all over the world. And so he sat down, and he went into his own studio, and he wrote this beautiful, beautiful piece with the folk guitar and the steel. And then I was sitting and listening, and we were funny because we've been working all day long. And as we were working all day long, he just pulled it out in like 30 seconds or 1 minute or 2 minute and 34 seconds. And I looked at my group and I said, we're not going back in recording. This was like immense and crazy. It was beautiful. Then I said, what am I going to do with this beautiful music? So I was actually driving down Route 5, which everyone knows it's pretty, and then it gets really, really wide and big, and all more cars and more colors were coming. And I realized everyone's on a journey. Everyone is on a journey somewhere, and they all have to get there safe and happy, no matter what. So I started singing to it, and that's when it came up with the original songs of the Ways and Yahs, which is also prayer or vocables, we call them. And we put it together, and then another dear musician, a local musician, his name is Dino, he put in the the harp on it because I wanted it to, so, and also the drum, my sister Loy Aubert, who is the beautiful, another beautiful woman on the CD. She also does the drum every 8 beats, which is the 36-inch cedar drum with
Elkhai. You played that drum for us.
Yes,
you guys
I did.
Played that drum for us, and it was thunderous, and it was the reflection of our heartbeats, it stayed with me. It always has.
Oh, well, Wanishi, Wado, thank you so very much, because that's what we're about. We're all about education and keeping up traditions. No matter who you are, where you come from, if you honor and respect everything that you do, and you have the heartbeat of the drum, which is the heartbeat of all, circle of life. Everything that is alive has a heartbeat.
Yes, and when I was young, we went to the powwows, and that's what they told me. My grandfather told me that beat, everybody's heart eventually is synced to that drummer at the powwows. So tell me about number four, the reunion.
Oh, number four. That was an amazing, amazing song. It consists of a small little bird flute, which my sister Loy Aubert, Karen Loy Aubert, is playing. And I'm playing a regular single flute, but we're both in A. And I had this vision of reunion. And how can we do a reunion of people and loves and friendships through the wind instrument?
Well, let's hear a little bit of that.
Oh, I would love to hear it. Thank you.
Wow, that's beautiful.
Oh, thank you so very, very much. Now, did that bring you on your reunion?
Yes. You know, the funny thing is we just had our 50th class reunion.
Wonderful.
So, another song that caught my eye was Mother's Heartbeat, because I've been reading so much about the powerful Cherokee women, the power from the Native women, America, so many great Native American leaders.
Yes.
And when I saw that, I saw Mother's Heartbeat. You know, that's why the women in Native American society are running things.
Yes.
Because that's the way it should be. I've always felt that way.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, tell me about Mother's Heartbeat.
Mother's Heartbeat. Mother's Heartbeat is another original that is written with the heartbeat of the drum and a drone flute. That's also made here locally from a beautiful flute maker.
What's a drone flute?
A drone flute is a double flute. And I brought it here today to show you.
Can you play something?
I would love to. Let's hear a little bit of number seven, and then I would love to play some of that drone so you may hear it live. And it'll be your song. Everyone listening and everyone in this room. If you think of, while the insert is being played, if you can stop and think of something that's the most beautiful that has changed your life, and just think it. And while you're thinking, I'm going to pick that up and then play a song that's going to be your original song.
Okay, here's a little bit of Mother's Heartbeat. Wow, that was beautiful.
Thank you so very, very much. Thank you.
So we're thinking good, positive, beautiful thoughts.
Yes.
Happy thoughts.
Yes.
And we're about to hear a drone flute.
Yes. Thank you. Your song.
was a medicine woman, how did you get into music?
Oh, that's wonderful. My medicine comes from my grandmother's side and my mother's side. I'm generational. You know, I say that I'm third generation because of many different situations. Matter of fact, I'm many generations, and I have also taught my children who are going to be the generational also. But my father was a Cherokee drummer, and he also taught us. We were always raised with powwows and music, all different kinds of genres of music. And I was really, really drawn to the Native, of course. You know, my mother was Mi'kmaq, and my father was Cherokee. And my grandmother taught me all the medicine. My mother was an aromatherapist and an herbalist. I never knew a medication. You know, when people had those little pill bottles said Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you know, yes. I had those where they're filled with kelp and cod liver oils and, you know, it was like horrible, you know, but it made me very, very healthy and very strong. And she knew that some of us had to pass things on. So here I am. And no matter, I always told her, no matter what I came across, what sticks that come across in the path, I will always, always honor her and respect her and in our ways. Because I need to be taught. So the music also is being lost. Everything, you know, Native American languages, our music, our ceremonies, they're all being lost. And when I go and visit the children and the elders on reservations, and I ask the elders, you know, grandmother, grandfather, what is your desire for the young? And they'll say, I wish they would know their language and keep up their traditions. They're being lost. So right now, 75% of Native American children is suicidal. And we have lost that. That's a big, big percentage. Mm. So I also work with teenage suicide prevention about that. It's all about we have to bring hope to the young and never, ever give up the old traditions. Never, ever give up the old traditions.
Tell me about this charity for the children.
We work with the young, and we also call them, we also work with the homeless, which we call them earthwalkers, because what we're trying to do is they are our future. That's not an original saying, but it has to be said more often, much more often, because people aren't listening anymore. So no matter what, I promised my grandmother that I would keep up the traditions. I would always save and help the young. And I love children. I have raised a lot of children, and I've had 3 birth children and some beautiful stepchildren. We raised them together. I was so blessed by that, and I still am. And now I have a grandchild that is also learning our traditions. And, you know, matter of fact, she's like my little manager. If I forget a word or if I say it, she's like right on it. So she knows the language and the drumming and the rattle. She was just received her first little flute. And her own little drum. We just performed at a charity in Maine for a child, and it's still going on, for an adoption. This beautiful, beautiful girl, Gracie, needs to be adopted in this wonderful family. And we went out there with my daughters. My daughter is on a drum out there called Winds of Change, and it is a mixed drum, so they're keeping up their traditions. Which
your
is
daughter,
phenomenal.
Your daughter danced in Descanso.
Your daughter? That's my other daughter. Yes, okay. Both my children. I have an older daughter.
She danced the robe dance, right?
She danced the shawl dance. The Cherokee shawl dance. Yes. That's my youngest daughter. She toured with us all those years. This is my oldest daughter, who also, when she grew up, and my son also, when they grew up, they also grew up with the Native American culture and the outside culture. They were raised and they were put in public schools. But on the powwows, they danced for the powwows and did traditional drums, singing, and dancing. And now she's back into it and teaching her daughter. So it was phenomenal to see. So we were out there and we used their drum, and I performed. We raised $2,500 for this family, and they actually need some more at all times right now, because raising or adopting a child for the cause is like $18,000 nowadays.
Oh, my.
Yeah, for the court costs, for the lawyer costs, things like that. Gracie's 18 months old, and so she needs to go to this family.
Where can we find more information about your music? And do you have a website?
I do have a website. Our music website is Windwalker and the, capital M, capital C, and capital W. Windwalker and the MCW. And you can see all our music and everything that we've been doing there. Oh, my goodness. The photo of our album, of our CD, Generations. Our sponsor was the Wild Horse Mustang Horse Sanctuary in Black Hills, South Dakota.
Right.
Yeah.
And there's a picture of wild horses. Is this?
That's it.
That's oh my goodness.
That's only one herd. About the Black Hills Wild Horse Sanctuary, they are one of our sponsors, one of our biggest sponsors. They really believe in culture. They actually even have a Sundance there every year for the Lakota on the land, on the property, with all honor. And Tom Cook, who is Iroquois, comes out and runs that. He's a phenomenal grandfather who believes in sharing the cultures also, just like we do. And Dayton Hyde is the owner, and Susan Watt is the director. And our producer, Carla LaRive, is the head director of all the sanctuary. And another nice surprise is coming up with the CD and the pictures inside, which, yes, they are the Wild Mustang. And, yes, I did get to be with them. The last song, Prairie Road's Journey, we just traveled 8 states with our drum. And we filmed with our videographer and another producer, Christopher Crosby. With him, we picked him up in Port Townsend, Washington, took a ferry ride to Seattle. It was wonderful. And traveled all these states and filmed. We ended up filming at the Wild Horse Sanctuary and along the way. But Christopher Crosby is working on it as we speak, to have this beautiful, beautiful video of this song. And mainly the video that you do see are the wild horses and the set from Crazy Horse.
The movie?
Yes, yes.
Oh, my.
Yeah, I got to actually be on that set, that old set, and film it. It was incredible, incredible. The journey was just amazing, amazing. And I just want to thank Dayton Hyde and Susan Watt and Carla LaRive and Christopher Crosby and, you know, and our group. Our group is Dana and Carly and Karen Spiritbear, myself, and all the other producers that are here, and all the love and the care of all our fans and friends and family that believe in us.
Wow, I'd really like to see the video.
Oh! Thank you so much. We had such a blast. I love the transformation of me being, it's like country boy and country girl and Indian. And you can picture almost like a 1930 old truck, you know, with an old cowboy picking up a Native American and going, where are you going on your journey? And it's all about that. It's all about your own journey in life. And it's just incredible in how with the transformation of when you see it, where I'm in like country western clothes, and I'm actually wearing my sister's boots, and they're size big, so bigger than I am, so it's even funnier. But they worked all the way up to my sister and I on the top. Took about 45 minutes crossing over the Cheyenne River and up these mountains and looking down where there's nothing on the side of us. And thank goodness Carla is just driving it and Christopher were driving it. And we get up to the top of this wild horse sanctuary where these Mustangs do not see humans very often, because they do. You know, they are a family-run business where they have, you can go there and have tours to see the wild Mustangs. And you can look it up at Wild Mustangs. The Black Hills Wild Horse Sanctuary. But there is some that are really, really so wild, they very rarely see humans unless something goes wrong. And we went up there with them, and we get to do ceremony, and we get to also do it, and we're in full regalia from there on. And in this full regalia with the drum and smudging and just having this beautiful moment with the wild horses and our traditions and keeping up and honoring the traditions. And I'm so pleased that our group honors these songs, because the other songs on the CD are traditional songs from the Mi'kmaq, the Lenape, and the Cherokee that were passed down.
That's wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you.
I have two questions for you now.
Absolutely.
One, I want you if you could speak a little bit more about the charity with the Children in the Arts. And you have a website for that?
It's the Arts for Institute for Children. You can look that up. And Sam is the owner and the co-founder of this, and it's out of L.A. And also he is signing up with another wonderful man in New York as we speak. And all proceeds of this charity go to children all over the world. Wynn Walker and the MCW Group just donated quite a bit of money to children in India for school supplies and art supplies. We also give
Indians.
Indians help Indians. We're all related. You know, my grandma had a saying, if we'd sit in a place and watch like a park, you know, and we'd sit there and she'd say, oh, if that little boy fell down and scraped his knee and he bled, he'd bleed red. Oh, that woman with fiery red hair, I bet she's Irish. If she cut her finger and she bled, she'd bleed red. You know, you have to realize that we're all related and we all are native in some way. So, you know, this is all, it's just wonderful. So the Arts for Institute is amazing. We also buy djembe and we buy instruments for the children, whatever they need. We also work with the Earthwalkers, the homeless children. So it's wonderful there. A lot of times when I go to Ocean Beach, or everyone knows it as OB, I always bring extra food. And I also bring dog food and cat food. Because, yeah, a lot of people, when you go there, you know, that's just a kind of nice thing to do. We're also going to be starting working with the Monarch School of the homeless children.
It's a shame that there has to even be homeless children.
I know. That's why we call them Earthwalkers. I was actually told that by a man who came up to me at the beach. And he said, excuse me, ma'am, do you have any extra food? And I said, sure. And he said, well, I want to trade these oils. I said, no, I'll give you the food. I'd love to give you the food. He said, no, but I'd like to trade. And I said, but I really, I bring extra food. And I was a little proud. I was happy to say this. I was excited to him. And I said, oh, well, I work with the homeless children. And I tell him, he said, ma'am, I'm not homeless. Earth is my home.
And unfortunately, it's the only home they have at the time.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. But he said, but thank you. And I did trade him the oils. And I did give him the extra food. And he went and he was sat over there and he prayed. And then he ate it. And I realized this is his path where he needs to be. Because if he needed more, because I went up to him and I said, well, you know, I can give you socks. And he says, thank you so much. And if I need that, I know your heart and I know where to find you. So,
Wynn Walker also lives here in Lakeside.
Yes, thank you. I love Little Lakeside. It's wonderful. It's beautiful. And it's called Lakeside because of all the beautiful lakes and the waters that it surrounds us.
Those are natural lakes. And there's we have this unusual animal that lives down there.
Really? Yes, we do. And Miriam got to see it on our property after a healing she had. And that's wonderful. And that was a weasel.
Wow.
That was a weasel. That's amazing. Yeah,
Lakeside weasel.
Mm-hmm. Also, because Wynn Walker and the MCW were very, very big on healing of the waters.
Yes.
So we go around
the country.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and we are inner waters. That's what I do with my medicine is I heal your inner waters mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And also, we also go to waters, the outer waters, and we do ceremonies with drum and cornmeal and prayer, and we teach this. We just go around and teaching it. And then we have a feast with it, and then we ask people to even do that. I even ask people to start singing beautiful thoughts into their water before they drink it.
Good idea.
Yeah. Try it. Here's an experiment. Take a sip of water, wherever it's from, a bottle or a glass, and then sing into it. I don't care if you can't sing well. Just sing into it with happy thoughts, and then drink it again, and get back to us and see if you see a difference.
Huh. One more thing.
Yes.
Is there anything that we haven't covered that you'd like to talk about?
We're working on three more CDs. One is a children's CD.
Oh.
I'm also doing some songs for a speech impediment because when I was a child, I actually had a stuttering problem.
Mm.
And because I wanted to speak too fast, and apparently that's New England anyhow.
Mm.
and I have children on the children's CD. We also have some other friends of ours that are on a CD, and I also wrote a song that is about a friend of mine who journeyed on my birthday, and it's a little bluesy.
Mm.
about. I wrote it for her, and with her name is Amber, and it was a wonderful song that's being released. And also, I'm going to be releasing two cover songs, an old song of Summertime. Remember that old song, that old Summertime, yes. When Living is Easy?
Uh-huh.
Well, I changed the words to kind of make it a little more personal, because I actually want it to be sung at my eulogy, because I am Wind Walker. And I actually say in it, catfisher jumping, because instead of just saying fisher jumping, because if it's really good day of catfisher jumping, because they're ground feeders.
Yes.
So there's a reason to my madness.
Yes.
And also an old Barbara Streisand song, from the movie Star is Born, and it's called Queen Bee, and it's all about women empowerment.
Oh, I got to hear that one.
Oh, and it's incredible. It's incredible. We're going to also do a music video on that at Queen Bee's Cultural Center in North Park. Alma is the owner of Queen Bee's Cultural Center. So, yeah, be looking for
that. Oh, we'll look forward to that.
Thank you.
Well,
thank you.
It's wonderful to have you here, have you back. Wind Walker and the Multicultural Women. And you can find that on the internet. We wish you the best of luck at the Grammys. Come back as a Grammy winner, and we'll do this again.
I would love to. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. And blessings to all.
You are listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, broadcasting from the desert to the sea.
The East County Magazine Show airs Mondays and Fridays on KNSJ from 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock p.m. You can listen live at 89.1 FM or online at knsj.org. You can also listen anywhere by downloading the TuneIn application for your smartphone. For details, visit tunein.com. This concludes today's episode of East County Magazine's radio show. We extend our appreciation to the East County Wellness Center for our studio space, to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County and Descanso. We extend our appreciation to our sound technicians, Leon Thompson and Ed Barena, and to our producer, Miriam Raftery. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble, Jim Hannibal, A.K. Jules, Brian Boykel, Royalty Free Music, Frank Nora, Kevin McLeod, and Turco, Nomads of the Silk Road. We also thank the County of San Diego for a community enhancement grant to support our Destination East County segment. If you have story ideas or would like to underwrite the East County Magazine radio show, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org or call 619-698-7617. We'll be back soon for another edition of East County Magazine's radio show.